professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the San Francisco State University. She's the director of the Laboratory for Studies in Physical Activity, Culture, and Education, and the lead investigator of the Active Living Across the Lifespan Research Group. She is also finishing her term as chair of the Physical Activity section for APHA, so be sure to thank her for her leadership. Susan.
She neglected to mention that I was certified in Pig Latin yesterday, so I have my ribbon. You can get one, too. Okay. So the title of my presentation is Playing in the Streets, and it is about play streets. I'll talk about the relationship to the open streets movement as well, creating children's recreational space in the urban environment. And I'd like to also acknowledge my collaborators, Anosho Chaudhuri from the Department of Economics and Elaine Musselman from the School of Nursing at San Francisco State University, and their different contributions to the work. Play Streets, if you're not familiar with it, is an initiative of the Partnership for a Healthier America. That's Michelle Obama's initiative. And I'll talk a little bit more about our relationship to Play Streets overall. No relationships to disclose. And here we're jumping into a Play Street. So a little bit about Play Streets. If you're Olga just gave us a little bit of background on the open streets movement. You may or may not be aware that in San Francisco we've had an open streets initiative since 2008 called Sunday Streets. And we, since that time, we've developed into quite a large program. I've done a lot of evaluation. If you're interested, you can follow up with that. And we run, we're not quite as large as Bogota in so many ways, but we run about 8 to 10 events per year. They do rotate around on 7 different routes. And one of the reasons why we became so interested in Play Streets is that it gave us an opportunity to offer this type of initiative and programming in more neighborhoods and more communities more frequently. We've had incredible demand by neighborhoods and communities across San Francisco to have a Sunday Streets. And of course, there's always a resource and a funding issue. And so, we're hoping to scale up in the future, but right now we're at about roughly an event a month from February to October. So that's one of the pieces there. We were part of an initial pilot test run by the Partnership for Healthy America. 8 cities were funded. San Francisco was one of those. And so what I'm going to be reporting on is our first year, and unfortunately so far also our only year. It was a pilot test. It had some positive outcomes and some difficulties, and I'll talk a little bit about those. But one point I do want to make right away is the second bullet there. Play Streets is the title that the PHA, Partnership for Healthier America, uses for this program. Their target population was preteens. I don't know about preteens you know, but the ones I know wouldn't be caught dead going to a program called Play Streets. And so we expanded ours to the name Play Streets for All, but I still will refer to it as Play Streets just for brevity. And that allowed us to, in our evaluation, to sort of have a broader scope of investigation and outcomes. If we had evaluated just for preteen youth, I wouldn't be here right now because we had virtually zero attendance from that group. Not quite zero, but pretty small. So anyway, just to get back to the open streets movement, as Olga mentioned, we close city streets. In San Francisco, the different routes vary from about 3.5 to 6 miles. We don't have quite that turnout, but upwards of 25,000-30,000 people, and as I said, it was very popular. And Play Streets uses similar criteria around the neighborhoods that were selected. They were called communities of concern, low serve for physical activity and recreation, and where there's a high incidence of chronic disease. So on that level, some overlap with the open streets movement. There were 4 sites that were selected for the pilot. You can see them up there. We didn't get on board until after the event in the Western Addition, so we evaluated Bayview, Excelsior, and Tenderloin. So as mentioned, a similar template as Sunday Streets. Early on, Sunday Streets was a very community-engaged model. There were town hall meetings. I feel like I was part of the planning. I attended the meetings, but I do use the Royal We quite a bit. And so Play Streets adopted the same design. So for example, in the Bayview, a town hall meeting had about 20, 25 people. Not a huge turnout, tends to be sort of the advocates for the neighborhood. And so they decide what kind of programming and are also somewhat responsible for implementation. The idea behind Play Streets is that the government holds the hand very lightly as we walk into the program and then eventually gives the program over to the neighborhoods, a strength and both a weakness. So initial government support was through recreation and parks, transportation, and a nonprofit called San Francisco Beautiful. Some of those pieces didn't work so well, and when I get to my conclusion section, I'll talk about the need to really promote those a little bit more. And Sunday Streets itself is sponsored by Livable City, which is also a nonprofit, and so they had a little bit of a hand in this. Anyway, just to differentiate, it's a Saturday schedule. It's on one city block. There's a four-hour time frame. They typically were held from 11 to 3, and again, at one time in each of those four locations. Sorry for the reproduction here. I stole this map from the American Heart Association's recent RFP, and it was so perfect because they've looked at, by census block, most deprived communities. And so if I can just sort of point from here, if you look at the top blue, the very top center, that's where one of our, these are all these very deprived communities. That's one of our locations for Play Streets, and the middle is another one, and then two of those big blocks on the bottom to the right, and then that huge one in the middle, those are all where Play Streets were located. So it turns out we did a good job with the criteria and selection. One of the main partners was San Francisco Recreation and Parks Mobile Recreation Unit. They drive this thing around the city. It's amazing what they do, and super popular, and they also put up ramps. So some of the organized activities you can see here, lots of spontaneous activities. Just as you can imagine, playing in the streets, it's such a freeing, liberating experience. It's like all sorts of crazy stuff going on. And of course, lots of soccer. So that's a little bit about Play Streets, which we did not have any hand in developing, and we might have done things slightly differently, but in any case, it was handed to us, and so we wanted to do an evaluation to see what kind of benefits would come from this. So we examined characteristics of users, levels and types of physical activity, use of open space, and level of community engagement. We used a variety of methods. The SOAP Park, on a typical format of on the hour for 15 minutes. I had more than a half dozen research assistants, better known as students, standing around in different parts of the street. It's nice on a city block because you can control your visibility a little bit around the SOAP Park, even though it also has its challenges. We used some mapping and I'll show you some of the open space pieces as well, surveyed the participants. That was really challenging and difficult. I'll explain why. And then we used a treatment, I should say comparison design, where we looked at neighborhoods with similar demographics and actually went out there and collected data on the same day as our treatment intervention. So just a couple of results from the demographic side. No brainer, you look at the comparison. These are streets where really nothing happens of health benefits, I'll put it in that way, to the treatment, where we certainly saw a huge increase in participants. And even despite what I said earlier, you can see the under age 13, huge jump. Those were our main group of children who participated. And we also saw quite an increase in the diversity of the participants. These two next slides kind of crack me up. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. So huge walking, you think, wow, that's cool. On the comparison side, that's not even the treatment. Well, they were just walking through the neighborhood, so we had to count them. Certainly walking for transportation, active transportation, a good thing, but not much happening in the way of physical activity. Here's our treatment. So lots of different activities going on, moderate and vigorous. Other things, basketball, soccer, all sorts of things we didn't put up there, as well as arts and crafts, lots of kids hanging around and doing, face painting and stuff like that. Who was that big group of people sitting down, parents watching their kids? So one of the recommendations that we would put forth if we try to do this again would be to have activities that engage everybody, parents can do with their kids. And there was plenty of that too, but you know, I don't know what was going on with the parents. They were hanging out and enjoying each other, actually. So another piece that we looked at around our results was around how much open space does this event actually add to each of its locations. This is a pretty desperate and despairing photo of one of the neighborhoods. This is the Tenderloin. I heard somebody talk about play streets yesterday. They talked about groups of men. Ours are more integrated, men and women hanging around on street corners doing, you can guess, but not much in the way of healthy behavior. So that's what it looks like. And so we developed a methodology, which is sort of in its infancy, but I think it's interesting enough to share with you here today. So this is from Google Earth Pro, and I am sort of an advanced beginner around technology, so I don't know if I'm ever going to graduate out of that. It's sort of like a bad swimming test, but this is a polygon that you can draw, and actually it's a fairly user-friendly program. So here's a polygon of just the street space. We assume that the sidewalks are always available and other recreation facilities are always available. So there's the polygon. And then we added on that by, so there's the block street. This is still the Tenderloin. And I measured a quarter mile perimeter around, because on the basis of the assumption that for children, that's roughly how far they will walk to get to an open space, is about a quarter of a mile. And then I mapped that just to show you what else is available around there. So up at the top there, you see 1,859 square meters of open space added. That's pretty good, I think. You know, a lot of street space, not too much else going on in that neighborhood. That's probably our most desperate neighborhood in San Francisco. Lots of interesting things happening there. Similar thing with the Excelsior Play Streets. There's the polygon. Just over 2,000 square meters added, again overlaying on a city recreation department map. Not too much else happening. And as we know in physical activity work, even if you have other open spaces, maybe they're not usable for a variety of reasons, they're not safe, they're in poor shape, et cetera, et cetera. And here in the Bayview, I did a slightly different thing. At first it was a mistake, and then I realized it was a benefit. So those big green blobs sticking out from the street are parking lots. And so on the play streets, they actually closed those parking lots to cars. So that did, in effect, add extra space. And also there's a rec center there. And the building, well, you can't tell it's a building, but on the sort of very top piece sticking up along in the center there, is the Bayview Opera House. It's a historic building which is being renovated right now, but is used as a cultural center. So we added all that in addition to the street. They got a whole boatload of extra space there, and really probably second worst neighborhood for opportunities for kids to be active. Just a few, I hate to give this bad impression of San Francisco. You all know it and love it, so I'm gonna say this anyway. A few weeks before we went to collect data in there, there was a shooting. And people tend to just sequester themselves, right? They go into hibernation and nobody wants to come out. So it was great to have play streets. It's definitely sort of a safer feeling there. You know, community development piece, would you attend and would you attend again? So you see the numbers there. Sort of a no-brainer. In the Tenderloin, lots of anecdotal stories for people, even who are just walking through. How am I doing here? Okay. For people just walking through who said, you know, the drug dealers are not here today. So those groups of people on the corner just disappeared, which was just an amazing outcome for the people there. They felt so safe. I saw people coming out of their homes, literally right there on the street, coming down to play streets. So on that level, very effective. The community gave us a lot of feedback, as they do. They wanted more activities and events. And again, doesn't add up to 100 there. We asked them to they had multiple responses. Free place to exercise, it was convenient. And I literally did see kids going back and forth from inside their homes, place for social interaction. We're a very neighborhoody city, but when you live in a neighborhood where you can't really feel safe about doing that, you know, I think people really miss that. So they really noticed that coming out for this was positive. And again, I'm highlighting the Tenderloin one here. This is the one with lots of, you know, people hanging out in the streets. You know, it was a fantastic moment for them. It's unfortunate it was only one. The Excelsior also really, and the other two really important as well. The Excelsior was great because they actually did take the model, and about a month later they had a second event. Now, the strength there was that they partnered with an elementary school that was right on the street. and the PTA and the school's physical education teacher partnered with Play Streets, one of our former students, by the way, so that was a nice support, offered play equipment to the event, so that was very supportive. Tenderloin did that as well. They were next to a rec center, so all those things facilitated what was happening there. Very important. We always talk about handing things over to communities. Well, training them how to do it is one thing. Teaching them to feel empowered enough to keep going is yet another. And that's why I highlight that example of the PTA, because PTAs are notorious for being very empowered and wanting the best for their children and their families. And I think that's a very nice potential collaboration around Play Streets. Also, as the roots were sort of dovetailed next to playgrounds, another opportunity there for joint use agreement collaboration. So I think those are very important pieces. Okay, I'm going to put all this up at once. Not sure what my timing is. So I highlighted a couple of similarities and differences between Sunday Streets and Play Streets. I think that the short street, the community buy-in, really important piece. We've had huge problems around permitting and getting all the different city agencies on board with making this happen. That's a piece that still needs to be addressed. And if you've ever tried these events in your city, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The bureaucracy will just kind of kill you a little bit. We've talked a little bit about the safety piece here and the lack of reach to the targeted population. And the mix between spontaneous and unofficial activities, and having Rec Park Department bring those out was definitely beneficial for this event. A toolkit was developed to teach communities how to advocate and develop the program. Again, I think there's still a missing piece there that we need to address, which is how to empower communities to keep going forward. Last couple of comments here about our conclusions. The huge importance around sustainability. We've been criticized sometimes in San Francisco for not having our open streets more regularly on each of the routes. Of course, there are budget issues there. This would be a more highly sustainable model, even though it's a smaller scale. It does need more structural support in the beginning to get the communities involved and to keep them going there. I mentioned already about the partnership and the potential for joint use agreement. I think those are wonderful examples of types of collaboration. And really just want to highlight this need piece around certain communities. They just don't have the wherewithal, the resources. If all those people are in the street corners, I wondered where the people who would actually become empowered to do this were hanging out. So, and we saw the changes right away, even in our very short-term pilot analysis. So there's really a great hope for us. We're working toward bringing back Play Streets, and I certainly hope I can report on it in the future. And, of course, more advertising always needed. And there we go. Thank you very much.